Okay, tonight is Monday, September 30th, or 27th day of the month of Tishrei. This is the Gemara Shir. We're in the fifth perek of Maseches Sukkah, starting tonight on Daf Nun Gimel Amud Aleph. Okay, Rabotai. We actually had gotten to the bottom of Nun Aleph Amud Beis, and the next blot is complete Agadata. I'm not saying Agadata is not important, but I have limited time. I hope till 120, and I have a lot of Masechtas to teach, and I can't spend time on the Agadata because to translate and read the Agadata without saying something creative, you know, you got to be very creative for Agadata, and it's not my style. So somebody will have to learn it in order to justify the siyum that we have to make, because we've gone straight pretty much from the beginning of the Masechta.
I read it last week.
What?
I read it last week.
Excellent. You were yaitzas. Excellent. Not even Shemeh Kainet. Okay. The bottom, the Gemara says, citing the Mishnah, concerning the light that was produced at Simchat Beit HaShoeva. So the Mishnah says the last word, Tana, the Brisa says, top of now, Nun Gimel Amud Aleph, Isha Haisa Boreres Chitim Leor Shel Beit HaShoeva. The light was so bright from the Simchas Beit HaShoeva, from the candles, from the lamps, that a woman in Yerushalayim was able to sift grain and to take out the rocks or whatever else, would be able to look and see the light, see the grain, simply using the light that was generated by the lamps of the Simchas Beis HaShoeva. That's what the Mishnah said. The Braisa just quotes it almost verbatim. Tonight's shir, we're going to focus on Tosis's question and do a survey, panoramic survey, of how Shas handles this particular issue which Tosis raises, which apparently is a machlokes, the Bavli and Yerushalmi, and there will be many sources in the Bavli that support the Bavli, and other sources in the Bavli that seem to support the Yerushalmi against the Bavli. So let's take a look at the question that Tosis cites in the name of the Yerushalmi. Isha Haisa Boreres Chita L'Simchas Beis HaShoeva asks Tosis, the Yerushalmi Parech, in the Yerushalmi they ask the following question, Heich Boreres, how could a woman have sifted her chitim by using the light of the candles of the Beis HaShoeva? Ha'ika Me'ila D'Shemen Upsila Hayushel Hegdesh. The oil and the wicks belong to the Beis HaMikdash. You and me are not permitted to derive Hana'ah from anything that is used in the Beis HaMikdash. That's called an Iser Me'ila. An Iser Me'ila is the equivalent of theft from the Beis HaMikdash. And in addition to paying what you owe, you have to add a Chomesh. If you did it b'shogig, there's a korban. If there's b'mezit, it's worse. There's a korban me'ila, and it's a serious offense. Serious offense. So Tosis asks, how does the Mishnah claim that a woman is allowed to use it? After all, the raw materials with which these neirot were generated were taken from the mikdash. So there's an isur of me'ila. Now, Me'ila does not only apply to a korban. There are two types of kedushos in the Beis HaMikdash. There's what's called kachi haguf, kedushas haguf. Kedushas haguf is only applicable to something that can wind up on the Mizbeach. An animal which is dedicated as a korban has kedushas haguf. Shemen that will be used for a korban mincha has kedushas haguf. But anything else that is donated to the Beis HaMikdash has what's called Kedushat Damim. Its value is intrinsic, has certain value. It can be redeemed. You can redeem Hekdesh that is donated to the Bedek Abayis simply by going to the Gizbar, paying the price, and adding a fifth. Chamishiso Yosef Olav. Kedushas Haguf can never be Nifta. You cannot be Poda Kedushas Haguf unless it has a Mum. And then you will redeem it, and then even under those circumstances when you're allowed to eat it, it's all with restrictions. You're not allowed to le'achla v'lo le'giza. You're not allowed to shear the wool. You're not allowed to use it for milk. You have to eat the animal, and that's it. So kedushas guf is one thing. So the isa me'ila applies to something that has kedushas haguf, but the isa me'ila also applies to something that has only kedushas damim. Not intrinsically holy, but its monetary value being associated with the Mikdash, it's also subject to Issa Me'ila. So if somebody donates this chair to the Beis HaMikdash, it now becomes the property of the Mikdash, and the minute you sit on that chair, you violate the Issa Me'ila. So Tosis asks, the Shemen and the Psila were not Kedushas Haguf, because they didn't wind up on the Mizbeach, but they were used to serve as the source of light for the Simchas Pesach Shoeva. And the wicks and the oil came from the Mikdash. And therefore it's subject to the Issa Me'ila. Answers the Yerushalmi, Umishani, Dekol, Umare, Voreach, Ein Bohem Mishum Me'ila. This is the halacha we're going to examine tonight. So what does the Yerushalmi answer? Sound, smell, and vision and seeing, benefit of sight, there is no Issa Me'ila. You cannot violate an Issa Me'ila simply by deriving benefit through the smell, through seeing something in the Mikdash, or hearing something in the Mikdash. Not some. When does the Issa Me'ila apply according to the Yerushalmi? Only if you mishtamesh with the Cheftza itself. If you use the item itself, then you are violating the Issa Me'ila. So if I take the shemen of the oil of the Mikdash and I use it to fuel my own personal fire, of course, then I am going to violate the Issa Me'ila. But here, the shemen is being used in the context of Simchas Beis HaShoeva. I'm not using the shemen. I'm deriving benefit from the light that is produced by the combination of the wick and the oil. That's Mare. And for Mare, Ein Bo Mishum Me'ila. So the Yerushalmi makes a blanket statement that says, call, it's a famous statement in the Bavli, and the Gemara quotes it as well, and the Yerushalmi answers the question, and therefore the woman is allowed to go ahead and what? And sift through her grain, Boreres Isha Chitim, with the or of the Simchas Beis HaShoeva. Vikasha asks Tosis, the Peperik Kol Sha'a Amrinan Allah, the Gemara says, Me'ila Hu Deleka, that if you violate only through Kol, Mare, and Reyach, indeed there is no violation of the Issa Me'ila, but Isurika, it's still prohibited nonetheless. The technical violation is not subject to the laws of Me'ila. You don't have to pay the Mikdash back and for the benefit, you don't have to add a fifth, you don't have to bring a korban, but it's usur nonetheless. So therefore, Tosfos asks on the Yerushalmi, what the Yerushalmi accomplished by citing the halacha that kol mariv areach ein bahem mishum me'ila, it's usur nonetheless. So therefore, Tosfos changes the pshat and the brisa and the mishnah. V'yesh loyma, diboreres lav dafka. That when the mishnah says that the woman would actually sift through the wheat at the light of the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, says Tosfos, that's not true. She would not technically do it. What does it mean? Kilomar, hoisa yichola livro merov ora. The light was sufficiently potent that should she have decided to filter her grain, she would have been able to do so l'oraner. But in reality, she did not do so. Why? Based on the fact that it would be an Issa Me'ila. Now it's very easy for Tosfos to just dismiss it, but this Mishnah, which we have read a long time ago, is not describing theoretical events. Every line in this Mishnah is describing what? The reality of what it looked like during Simchas Beis HaShoeva. It's describing everything. What the kids did, what I mean, you know, what was doing. Everything's described. Actual life. And the Mishnah said, Boreres Ishachita. Apparently, this is what was happening. But nonetheless, this is not unusual for Taismas. Just say something, and I'm not particularly care what the Mishnah says. I'm going to reinterpret the Mishnah based on the fact that I believe that there is an Isur, perhaps even Da'oraisa, even though there is no Isa Me'ila. So when the Gemara says, Kol Maravrech Embo Shemila, it doesn't mean that there is no Isur. Yeah.
It seems like the support seems to have this.
Yeah. It says what? Right.
What else
the Mishnah say?
No, maybe because we had it from the Sar, we had to explain the way. Because I mean, when I read the Mishnah, that was the meaning to me for right from the beginning. So then somehow the Sfot had a different Gersa
But so then, what is the Mishnah saying? Even if the Mishnah doesn't say the word La'or, what is the Mishnah saying? Isha Barares Chita, with what? With what? Why is this? What is the Mishnah telling me about a woman sifting if it has nothing to do with the light of the Chita? Even if the Mishnah doesn't say, what is the Mishnah reporting? That during Sibai Shem, women are sifting wheat? Who cares?
No, the ability, you know, how magnificent it was in terms of how much lighting.
Okay, so she had to do it with the light. So even if it doesn't say it black on blue, it still has to be Laor Haner, whether it says it or not. You can't divorce the fact if the Mishnah says Bereres Chitin outside of the Mikdash, it's because she's using the light. Whether it says it black on white, this is of no issue. So that's what Tosfos says. So there is a Mishnah Lamelech. If you'll take page for a second, the back page, page 8. Page 8, where the Rambam writes in Halacha Vav, and we discussed this briefly, where the Rambam writes, Michnesei Kohanim Hedyotim Shebalu, the pants of the Kohanim, of ordinary Kohanim, which got worn out, the Avnei Tehem and their Gartel, Hayosin Mehem Psilos, they used to make wicks out of them, Umadlikin Behem Bemikdosh Besimchas Beis HaShoeva. So now you look at the Mishnah Lamelech, and the Mishnah Lamelech asks the following question, which we did raise. We asked this in a different in the Gemara, not the Mishnah. Tosfos asked that question. Michnesei Kohanim Hedyotim, Hayu Osim Emsilus, Kasvu HaTosfos BePerek Beis the Shabbos, Dibur Hamasas Simchas Beis HaShoeva Shaini, Tema, Heichi Shari Lahadlik. How could they have, forget about the benefit from it, how could they have used Kohen garments for what? For lighting the Simchas Beis HaShoeva. Ha'lav tzorech korban hu. It's not, this is not a need for what? For something being used in the context of sacrifice. The Amrinu Beperek Beis the Kedushin, Big Day Kehuna Shebalu Mo'alin Bohen. That if a Kohen's garments are worn out, you violate an Issa Me'ila. So if I were to put on a garment worn by a Kohen, because he's throwing it out, but if I wear it in his pants, I violate Issa Me'ila. So if there is an Issa Me'ila, it means that it's still endowed with its intrinsic Kedusha. If it's intrinsic Kedusha, what is the only potential use for something endowed for its designated use, which is to offer karbanos, not to be used as wicks? That's the question that Tosfos asked. That what? V'doichik loymar, leiv bezdin masne alehen. The matzorich yesh lahem lahasnos b'shvil zeh. So one could say that you're right. In theory, there'd be no permission to use it. However, Bezdin stipulated that when people donated the wool to fashion and the fabric to make the Big Day Kahuna, the Tcheles and the Argaman, Bezdin made a stipulation. We are stating that even though this is going to be used for Big Day Kahuna, which are reserved for special Kedusha, we are making a statement, a stipulation. We are going to allow ancillary uses for this as well. So since at the original consecration of this wool, Bezdin had already stipulated that it can be used for ancillary uses as well, hence it's not a violation of the Issa Me'ilah. He says, V'doichik loymar. Later on, the Mishnah Melech is going to throw in the towel and say, well, that's got to be the answer. That's got to be the answer. And he says, that's how you will answer as well, how the woman will be Boreres Chitin. You're right, on the ordinary circumstances, there should be an Isur Me'ila, should Isur to use what? To use the Psila Negev. But, Leiv Bezdin Masna Aleh. Bezdin made a stipulation that when this oil was dedicated to the Mikdash, we are now saying, we stipulate that additional uses can be used. What are the additional uses? It's going to be used for what? Simchas Pesach Shoeva. And we know that lots of people are going to benefit from the light. They will be sitting there playing ball against the wall, against the kotel, they're going to be playing ball with the light generated by the Simchas Pesach Shoeva. And it's going to be covered by Leiv Bezna Masnin Aleh. There are such things which are carried over into a Beit Knesset. If you remember the fourth parak in Maseches Megillah, which says that Beit HaKnesset, which they want to sell, a Beit Knesset which you want to sell, what is the halacha governing a Beit Knesset that it wants to be sold? What's the halacha governing it? Number one, it's tofes es domeha. What does tofes es domeha mean? That when you sell the item, the money is consecrated for something, for the equivalent kedusha. It's pidyon. It's not that you're allowed to sell a Beit Knesset for anything. You can't. The money is tofes es domeha. Now, what do you do with the money? Who remembers the Mishnah? Beit HaKnesset, what do you purchase with it? What? No, that's the last thing on the list. What's the next thing on the list? You buy an aron. If you sell an aron, what do? You buy a mitpachas, the mantle of the Sefer Torah. If you sell a mitpachas, you have to buy svarim, just a Sefer Bereishis in a sklap. You sell that, you have to buy a Sefer Torah. Because you're based on the principle, malin b'kodesh vein maridin. Says the Gemara, that in Bavel, they used to sell Batei Knesset, like left and right, despite the fact they didn't use the money for anything. Why? Because they made a Tanai. Batei Knesiot Shebebavel Al Tanai Hein Asuyin. When they built the Beit Knesset, they wrote a condition. We are building this condition, Beit Knesset, on condition that should we have to sell, because the neighborhood changed, that we don't want its Kedusha to be retained. And the Tanai works. Here too, Leiv Bezdin Masne Aleihen. So one of the excuses to answer Tosfos' issue is that you're right, Mr. Tosfos, There is an isur to be nehene, despite the fact that kol marav areach ein bohem mishir me'ila. There is no me'ila, but there is an isur. How do you abrogate the isur and allow a woman to be boreres chitim? You claim that Bezdin was masna aleihem. Just as that they were masna aleihem on the big day kahuna to allow them to be used for non-korban usage, so too Bezdin was masna on the wicks and the oil to allow people to take advantage of the light. So answers the Mishnah Lamelech. Yeah.
In Mar Brachos, later near, like, I think it was like the ninth paragraph, there's a discussion about whether you're allowed to be yotzei on a dull candle, like depending on how far it is, or even whether you're allowed to be yotzei on candles, like I think from the Bada Zara, and I think maybe they said if it's like around the corner or very indirectly that you're allowed to. So one could maybe stipulate that if you're not over a Bada, if you're allowed to use a light that's from the Bada Zara, if you're depending if it's very indirect, then maybe.
No, it's the question is who makes the Tanai? Here, the Tanai is made by Bezdin when the contribution is made to the Mikdash. We can't establish Tanaim about Avodah Zarah.
No, what I'm saying is maybe just like they're saying that it's okay to use this light of the Avodah Zarah for your Abdullah in this very weird angle off, if it's in a corner or around this, that's okay. Same thing here. In the case where the woman, where she was doing this, it was this very indirect light.
Okay,
corner,
okay,
so
perhaps.
Too close, you're now at a
perhaps. Obviously, Tosfos didn't say that. But I'm not saying it's not a possibility. Yeah.
Maybe Tosfos agrees with the principle of the Mishnah Lamelech in the sense that when he says you can't get any benefit, he doesn't mean you can't walk around blind, you know, you can't get any benefit, you have to put glasses on so you don't use the light. What it means, you can use the light, but you can't use it for a designated specific purpose. You can exist in that space based on the fact that the Chachamim were masna, that you don't have to put a helmet on to
avoid looking at it.
Specifically use it for a designated
purpose. Okay, that's possible also. No, I'm not saying no.
Did you ever have light in the base of Midrash?
What?
Did you ever have light in the base of
Midrash? Okay, so that's a very good question. Because this question will be a more fundamental one, not only on Simchas Beis HaShoeva. What happens when you walk into the Mikdash and they're playing the Gemara and Krisis? I'm going to show it to you. What do they offer in the Mikdash that has an incredibly pleasant smell?
Ketores.
What are you going to do? You're not allowed to smell it? What are you going to do? So now let's take a look at the sugya, which Tosfos quotes as the basis of his Isur. Tosfos made a stipulation and said, I know the Gemara says, Kol Marav Reich Ein Bo Mishila, but there's got to be an Isur. How does Tosfos know? Did Tosfos tell us to note it? He says, yeah, Kol Shah. Let's see how the Gemara learns it. So this is source one in the packet. Yeah.
The expression Lev Bedin, what's the source to that? Is there a source to
it? It's I didn't check what the origin of Lev Bezdin is. It's probably related to Hefker Bezdin Hefker, which is a right that Bezdin has a right to stipulate how monies are used in general. It's a good question. Well, what's the mechanism of Lev Bezdin Masnale? I don't know.
Language also, it's a weird language.
I know. It's Lev Bezdin. I didn't examine it. It's a good question. What the halacha means. I'm just telling you what the application is. Masnale means that the certain isurim are waived because Bezdin made a stipulation in advance. Yeah.
Doesn't Shmuel introduce it in Shkalim?
What? It's used all over Shas. All over Shas. So let's take a look at this particular sugya. Itmar. This is Psachim Daf Chaf Hei Amid Beis. What? Page 1. Psachim Echaim. The sugya in Psachim happens to be one of the two locations where they discuss the parameters of Yehorek Val Yavah. The primary sugya is in Avodah Zarah Daf Ayin Dalet. And also in Psachim, you discuss the requirements of Yehorek Val Yavar, that for Gilui Arai, Shvichas Dam and Avodah Zarah, you have to sacrifice your life rather than violate the law. So that's what the sugya is talking about. So now the Gemara comes and says, Itmar, Hano'a Haba'a Lola Adam Be'al Karcha. What happens to a person who smells something, gets a benefit, not because he intended to do so, but he's an experience. Will he violate the Isur being Nene from Avodah Zarah or not? So what happens? he walks by a church, and the church is offering its ketoret, l'avod hazarah, and he can't help it. My God, what a pleasant smell. And he feels great. Feels great. So, what happened? So, Abaye Amar Muteres, V'Rava Amar Asur. Abaye says it's okay, and Rava says it's asur. So now the Gemara says, Efshar v'kom mechaven, lo efshar v'kom mechaven, kuli amu lo pligi da asur. If it's efshar v'kom mechaven, means, if you could have walked around the block, and you didn't, and you had intended, I walked by, oh, this smells great. That everyone, there's no debate. Rava and Abaye say it's asur. Or, in a case of no efshar, become chav. There is no other way to get home other than passing this tumah, this church. I'm sure we all had parents and grandparents who used to tell us, what do you do in front of the church? Spit. Right? In front of the church. Tumah, that's what they used to call it. The tumah. They don't say church. Tumah. So there was no way to get home except walk this dock. But when you walk by, you intend it. Everybody says that's awesome. Keep ligi the efshar v'lo kamechav. Lo efshar v'lo mechavin kuli amaloi pligi dishar. If there's no other way to get home, and you do not intend to benefit from it, you basically hold your nose. You have no intention, but it's just so overpowering. Everybody says that it's mutter because it can't be helped. It cannot be helped. Lo yefshar v'lo kol mechavim. The same thing is true, Rabotai. Rabbi Shachter applies this famous phrase to walking on the street and somebody's light. Because I walk by, somebody's light just triggered. Right? What am I going to do? This is the way I get home. I live on this block. How am I going to do it? But you don't intend to what? To benefit from it. You don't even intend to trigger. But you walk by and the light is triggered. So it's 100% mutter. Lo yefshar v'lo kol mechavim kuli amar pligi de mutter. You don't have to worry about it. Ki pligi de efshar v'lo mechavim v'aliba de Rabbi Yehuda de amar davar sheino miskavin asur kuli amar pligi de asur. According to Rabbi Yehuda, who generally holds the davar sheino miskavin is asur, everybody says Abaye and Rava will also say it's asur. Ki pligi aliba de Rabbi Shimon. Only according to Rabbi Shimon, who typically says, Davar She'eno Miskavin is mutter. That when you do an action which might lead to what? A prohibited action taking place, might lead to a prohibited action taking place, that typically is mutter. So here, Ali Mishim. The Omar Lashon is mutter. Abaye ki Rabbi Shimon. Abaye simply says, well, Rabbi Shimon says it's mutter, therefore I say it's mutter too. The Rava Omar, Ad kamo kamo Rabbi Shimon ahecha de lo efshar, abel hecha de efshar lo. When does Rabbi Shimon say davar sheino miskavin is mutter? Well, you could have avoided it. Well, you could not have avoided it. You couldn't have avoided it. But where you could avoid it, Rabbi Shimon doesn't allow it. So let's take the typical case of Rabbi Shimon. You're in the backyard, and you're having lunch, and you want to drag, you have to take a chair out to the backyard. So, I drag it along the ground. Did I intend to make a little hole, which is harisha? I didn't intend to. My intention is to take this to the table in the backyard so that I can have a barbecue on Yom Tov. I didn't want to make a furrow or dig a hole. But, if it's efshar, if just pick it off. If it's a table, I can't pick it up, so I have to drag it. That's low efshar. But if it's a chair, I could walk around. So even when it's efshar, v'lo kamachavin, even Rabbi Shimon would say it's prohibited. Even Rabbi Shimon would say it's prohibited. So now, Rabotai, what do you think the Gemara is going to ask about this debate, about this sugya, about the machlokes Abaye and Rava? What will the Gemara ask according to Rava? What will the Gemara ask according to Rava? Don't look. It's on the next page. What will the Gemara ask according to Rava in light of tonight's topic? I'll wait. What? Forget about attention. What question in light of tonight's topic is the Gemara going to ask?
Could she have avoided it?
What?
Could she have avoided it?
No, forget about avoiding it. Maybe the kids avoid it. What's the question? This is the sugya which Tosis is going to prove that there's an issur. So what question do you anticipate the Gemara asking about Rava who prohibited walking by the church? What? It's Reyach. The call Marev a Reyach ain't going to have a Shul Mehila. One second. So let's see what's happened. So what... When the Gemara says there's no Issa Me'ila, before Tosfos invented his Issa, when you read the principle in general, Kol Marev Areach Ein Bo Hevishul Me'ila, how would you define why you don't violate the Issa Me'ila through Kol, Mara, and Reach? Tell me why you will not violate the Issa Me'ila. Because that's not called benefiting directly from the ayah. You are not benefiting. It's incidental. So I could use the principle of Kol Mara Varech Eva Shemila not only to a case of Me'ila, but wherever there is an Isur to engage in benefit. Not only benefiting from the Mikdash, there's an Isur to benefit from the Mikdash, from an Avodah Zorah. You are not permitted to be Nana from Avodah Zorah. The Gemara will ask, what do you mean you're not allowed to be? That's true, you're not allowed to be Nana from Avodah Zorah. So what would that mean to be Nana from Avodah Zarah? To take wood of the church and bring it to your house and burn that wood in your oven. That I understand is awesome. But to walk by the church and smell, the Gemara says, Kol Marev Oreach Ein Bashem Mishum Me'ila. So if there is no Issa Me'ila, there should be no Issa of Avodah Zarah either. Because the concept between Kol, Mara, Varech, and Nila is that it's not called using. That's not, when is using something? When you use the chatzah. When you generate a benefit externally from the product, that's not called usage. Hence, you don't violate the Issa Me'ila. That's the Gemara's question going to be on this Gemara. And what will the Gemara answer? What do you think the Gemara is going to answer? Tosfos already told us. You're right. There is no Issa Me'ila. There's an Issa nonetheless. Since there is an Issa nonetheless to derive benefit from Avodah Zarah, therefore Tosfos takes this and says that what? That just as is an Issa to derive benefit from Avodah Zarah, what other Issa still remains? An Issa to be Nana from Hegdesh. Even though you will not violate the principle of what? Of Kol Mara, it's only a Halacha Me'ila. But there is an Isur. If there is an Isur, that Isur should apply here as well. That's how Tosis is going to use it. How is Tosis... Now, if you take the flip side of the page for a second, and you'll see where the Gemara says it. Look at line 4. The Gemara goes back and forth. I want to, in an interest of time, have to save some time. Amar Abaye, line 3. Mino Amino, how do I know that there is no such violation whatsoever by Hana'a which comes about automatically? How do I know? The Sani, we learned in the Brais. Omru Allah bar Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Shahayu Yoshev Bitsilo Shel Heichal, Vidorish Kalayan Kulo. Make believe you're at the Kotel. Make believe the walls of the Kotel are actually the walls of the Mikdash, which they are not. But just make believe. Mr. Rogers' neighborhood of make believe. Okay?
Yom Sabbath. Everybody watched that when we were kids with the kids.
Most boring guy on the planet. Most boring guy. He used to come on at 5 o'clock. Sesame Street was at 4. And Sesame Street had jokes built in for the parents. The kids didn't understand. They were funny because they didn't. Then you get this guy, Mr. Rogers. Go to Mr. Rogers' neighbor. Takes off his shoes and puts on a sweater. It was a boring show that I watched. And I watched, my kids watched it.
Trainers,
what?
The Little Train.
The Little Train. Yeah. So, imagine for a minute when the world is make-believe, you're staying at the Kotel. It's a bright, sunny day, but in the morning, before about the 8 or 9 o'clock, the Kotel Plaza is all in shade. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai went out of the sun, stood right by the Kotel, and gave shir. No, he's being nehenah from the tzeil of what? Of the Mikdash itself, the walls of the Mikdash. So Abaye says, must be that incidental benefit is not called a violation. And therefore, incidental benefit from the church is not called a violation either. The Rava Amar, no, Rava said no. Shani Heichal deletochal asu. The walls of the Mikdash are not designed to do anything outside of the Mikdash. What are the walls of the... They're only designed on the inside. The walls of the Mikdash are designed to create a certain Kedusha inside. They have no impact outside. So the shade issue generated on the outside is not called a violation. Because the wall was never built to what? To service outside. The wall was only built to service the inside. Hence, that's not called a... Don't bring any truths from Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai in response to Rav. Then the Gemara says, Amar Rava, Mina Amin Ilah, I'll tell you. I'll prove to you that it's Asur, automatic. The Sanya, Lulin Hayu Psuchin Ba'aliyah Space Kachi HaKadoshim, Shebahen Mishalshin Eshoamonim Bitevos, Kidei Shelo Yozunu Eineyem Mibes Kachi HaKadoshim. What's happening here? The Kachi HaKadoshim needed repairs. Well, he needed repairs. Kohen Gadol, he's not an architect. He's not a mechanic. He's not a carpenter. So what do? You bring in, into the Beis HaKadosh, you bring them in boxes. In a box. And you make a little peek hole out of the box so that the worker can see exactly what he has to fix. But he's not allowed to look what? All around it, the rest of the Kohen Gadol. Why does he not allowed? Why do you have to do this? Because even though he's fixing, and he's allowed to see in the Mikdash, because he's allowed to fix it, he's going to derive a benefit from the other things that he doesn't have to fix. So Rava says, based on the trouble that they used to go to bring in the carpenters and made sure that his sight, his line of vision was limited, only a little peek hole where he's allowed to fix, was permitted. Apparently, incidental benefit is prohibited. Incidental benefit. Says the Gemara Tisbara. For Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Pazim Rabbi Shimon ben Leib Shimon bar Kapara. Kol umar v'reich ein ben shemila. So looking at the beautiful Aron HaKodesh, look at the Kruvin, is Mara looking. That doesn't violate the Issa Me'ila. So why couldn't they allow the workers to look at it? Why couldn't they allow the workers to look at it? Answers the Gemara, Me'ila hu daleka, ha'isura ika. Must be that there's an Issa. This is the Gemara that Tosfos quotes in our case. Name. If they did not allow the workers in the Mikdash to scan, to take a look, just as they were working, and just to peruse and look at the Kruvin, because that would generate incidental benefit, apparently there's an Issa to do so, despite the fact that Mare ein bohem mishum me'ila. Tosfos now carries that over to Reyach. Just as, or to Mare. It's just that, so the Gemara carries that on to Reyach. Therefore, walking by the church, even though I had there's no Easter per se, there's no Me'ilah per se, but there's an Easter. But there is an Easter.
What's the benefit?
What?
And what's the benefit?
In which case?
In either case. I mean, just looking at
because I get pleasure. I am deriving pleasure from the beauty of the Kruvin. I'm deriving pleasure from the benefit of the smell of the church.
Even if it's incidental.
Even if it's incidental. There must be an Easter. Hence, Rava says it's Asa. Hence, Tosfos claims a woman could not have been Boreres Chitin La'or Haner because it would violate the Isur in Isur. Not a Din of Me'ila, but nonetheless an Isur.
So what's the first answer to the Marvi? Put it in the Omri. You meant the Ikat Omri is one that says that there's an Isur. What's the first answer? Ma'was V'is Kodesh HaKadosh.
That adds, it's only the Beis HaMikdash to protect it. That's it. Especially, it's only Din the Rabbanan, only Mikdash. No place else. But a church, you don't have to worry about it. That's correct. So now what we're going to see is a variety of other sources in the Gemara which either support this premise or challenge this particular premise. That's what we're going to do. See a variety of other sources that either challenge or support this premise. So now if you go to our source sheet and go to page number 3, so the Gemara says, this is a Gemara Krisus da Baba Merav, page number 3. I bracket it. Tanur Rabban, Hamifate es Haktores Lelamegva. If somebody's, what is Pitum Haktores? Hamifate, what's Pitum? Somebody chopped up the spices exactly according to the recipe that the Torah described in Parshas Kisisa, how to make the Ketores. So if he did it lehislamim, to learn how to do it. Or for lemosra letzibur, to donate it to the mikdash, patur. Then he's patur. But lehoriach, if he did it so in order to what? Shmek shmek, to shmek tabit, to shmek that on Yom Kippur, to pass around the smelling salts, for the 90-year-old people who love to do that on Yom Kippur to make sure that you fast okay. You know, some guy in Shul did that, you know. Who was going around with it? I think Robert Vendelis or something was going around with Shmek Topic. That's the way old-time Shul, that's what you do on Yom Kippur, pass around these smelling salts all day. Chai. The Hamariach Ba, Pater El Shema'al. If you smelled the ketores of the tzibur, you are pater, but you violate the Issa Me'ilah. So there's a whole discussion when you're pater, but you violate the Issa Me'ilah. So look at Rashi. There's a Negamaris, Umika Me'ilah Bereyach. Fahama Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi and Rabbi Shimon ben Levi, Mishim Bakor. Kolomar Bereyach, Amen Mishim Me'ilah. So take a look at Rashi. Im heiriach ba biktoris shel tzibur pater. What is called? Hanehenem mikol hakinorot univolim shel kli sharis. You walk into the mikdash, and they're singing. The singing includes what? The instruments. Sounds great. Beautiful music that the Leviim are playing. So if you say beautiful music, that's deriving benefit from the mikdash's utensils. Says Shimon ben Pazi, oh, that's not a problem. Why? Why is that not a problem? Why? It's cold. Ain't by Shimon either. Umare. Hanehene mimare yafesh ohecha. You walk into the Beis HaMikdash because you're being mekayem the mitzvah aliyah l'regel. Wow. Looks great. Looks so beautiful. Says Rav Shimon ben Pazi, you violate absolutely nothing. V'reyach ha-ketores. I enjoy the what? The ketores. So the Gemara goes on to say, you're right, this is a problem. The ketoret has two stages. Namely, until the ashad, until the cloud cover comes, Mishitala Timraso, you'll violate an Isamila if you smell it. But after the cloud cover is, after the cloud, the smoke already comes up, you don't violate an Isamila. Why? Because Achashinasas Mitzvaso, there is no Mi'ila. After the mitzvah is done, that's what the Gemara goes on to explain. Now, no one ever said here, in this case, no one responded, hey, forget about Nasas Mitzvasa, and there's no Isa Me'ila. There's an Isa to derive benefit, there's no Me'ila, but there's an Isa to derive benefit from the orchestra. No one ever said there is. No one responded in this Gemara and said, you know what, when you walk into the Mikdash to be Mekhanis, keep your eyes shut. Why? Because if you love, if you get impressed with the mara, with the beauty, the innate beauty of the Mikdash, you're going to violate the Isur. No one ever says it. So the Gemara only said it by the Ketoret, which is part of the Avoda. But if not for the fact that it's part of the Avoda, you would not violate an Isur whatsoever. Why did the Gemara say this an Isur? Gemara never stopped anybody from enjoying the symphonic Jerusalem Symphony Orchestra playing the Beis HaMikdash, and there's an Issa. So the Gemara Croesus says that when the Gemara quotes Rab Shimon ben Pasi, who says, "Call Mara Borea Ein Bohem Yishu Me'ila," what does it mean, Ein Bohem Yishu Me'ila? There is no Issa whatsoever. Just like the Yerushalmi said, there is no Isur whatsoever. And therefore, you can enjoy the benefit of the orchestra, you can enjoy the view in the Mikdash, and after the mitzvah has been performed, there's no Isur Me'ila, nothing to worry about. Nothing to worry. Move on, let's move on. Page number 4. This is a tshuva of Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank. Shut Hartzvi, Yoradea, Simon Reish Nun Hei. Here is the case. Here is the case. Do you have a client in the room? No comment today. No comment. So, imagine there was a Kohen. Okay? And a Kohen had Truma Shenitma'a. Truma Tameya. What is a Kohen supposed to do with Kohen Truma Shenitma?
Burn
it, and what else? Derive benefit from the fire. That's the halal. He has to derive benefit from it. Very nice. So now your local Kohen invites you to a barbecue in his backyard. And lo and behold, how is he firing up the barbecue? The Truma Shenitma. So the question is, do I have to tell, I better leave. So let's read what Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank writes. U'mashabal mishnah rishonah hechriya dino medivri aramba. Dehecha dehakoen shutafim yisrael. They happen to be partners, business partners. And the kohen is lighting, providing light and heat. Mutalo yisrael lahadlik Shemin Srefa, Lechora Eina Lidin Dome, Hishami Hadlokas Haner Mehanoas Achila, Vidafka Bahanoas Ner Hamor, Maglikin Shemin Srefa, the Bate Knesses, the Bate Migrashos, Ubin Mivos or Afelin, Vishum the Amrinon, Ner Le Echad, Ner Le Meya. You can't use Shemen, I can't use the Shemen directly for myself if it's Shemen Srefa, which has to be burnt by a Kohen. But if the Kohen is burning and he gets light, I don't have to run out of the house because I'm also deriving benefit. Why? Because Ner Le'echad, Ner Le'meir. Once one person gets benefit, the Kohen, who is right, entitled to do so, there is now a benefit, there is a net, that net services the need of 1,000 people. The other 1,000 people don't have to what? Run out of the room. Why? And they are not going to violate the Isur of what? Of being Nene from Hekdesh, or from Nene from Truma. Why will they not?
Because kol umare from a man ain't no hem shavila. There's no issa whatsoever.
Is this going to get nana from truma or just to? It's not really exact.
The mitzvah here is for the kohen to get nana. I'm not a kohen.
But even in regular truma, it's not an issue about noah. It's
but here the mitzvah is how you they have. That's why he gives this example.
What I have to say, but I'm agreeing with you, but also pointing out it's not analogous to what we're doing.
But I'm just showing another case where there is an isur, and that incidental benefit. But there's an isur hanal.
No, there isn't.
Yes, there is.
No, there isn't.
Only a kohen is allowed to be in this case.
No, there's a chiyuv for the kohen to get hanal. There's no isur from anyone else to get
hanal. Am I allowed? To, I can't. Yes. Am I allowed to use? Am I allowed to eat truma?
This is not edible truma.
No, correct. So whatever is mutter for the kohen is also for anybody else.
You can't lie without the kohen.
I cannot lie without the kohen.
I understand.
Why
that?
Why not?
Because it's a separate issue. What do with hanah?
What's the issue?
I don't know. God said I can't use it. It's not.
Why not?
It's not the same. It's not analogous.
Why not?
Because it's not. It's not based on the issue of hanah.
It is. Here, the only the mitzvah is to be nana. So the Isur is to be nana for a zar. When you're dealing with edible truma, you're right, there may not be an Isur. The Isur mitzvah is to eat. So what am I not allowed to do? I'm not allowed to eat it. But here the Isur is to derive benefit through its destruction. So a Yisrael is not permitted to derive benefit through its destruction.
The chiyu of the kohen is derived benefit. I hear what you're saying, but I think there's a slight...
Okay, I'm not saying you can disagree. I'm just giving you another case where something is applied based on that rule. Next page 5.
Why is that thing there after Neil and May? Why didn't you just say what he said?
It's a good question. It's a similar expression. He quotes it later at the end. Ke'en she'amru kol baga elayim shemila. He quotes it 2 lines later. Yes, 100%. He's barred. He didn't fabricate that. I didn't check the source. Is he quoted? Yeah, Gemara Yevamos. Quotes Gemara Yevamos. Comes along the Mechaber. Listen to this. Shulchan Aruch Reish Ayin Vav. Eino Yehudi Shehidlik Es Haner B'Shvil Yisrael. Okay? A Jew asked a Gentile to turn on a light on Shabbos. So the person who asked him certainly is not permitted to what? To benefit from that light. Because if he would be permitted, then he's going to violate the Isur. Says the Mechaber, Osur lakol afilu mi shelo hudlak b'shvila. No one is allowed to use benefit from that light. So if a Gentile asks a Jew to turn on a light, a Jew asks a Gentile to turn on a light, then everybody is Osur to derive benefit from that light. Everybody. Not only the person who violated the Isur. And everybody asks, why? Mare ain't bo b'shul me'ila. I'm just benefiting from... I didn't violate the Isur. I'm just benefiting from his Isur. Must be that there is an Isur. To be nene, even though there is no technical ma'isavera. There's no me'ila, but there is an Isur. And that Isur will apply even to an Isur derabbanan of asking a Gentile to light a light on Shabbos. No one else is allowed to benefit from the light. Why? Because there is an Isur. That Isur might even apply to an Isur derabbanan in such a case. In such a case.
It's not related to Me'ilah. Me'ilah is not about Shabbat.
What?
It's not related to Me'ilah.
No, but it's... I know. You extend it. Not only with this Nisim, in general, what's the principle which the Mechaber is based on? Anytime there is an Isur, to the benefit, it's not only the person who did the Isur, incidental benefit is also as well. Incidental benefit is also as well.
To prevent other people from doing their rebellion, establish the rules so no one does it.
You can disagree. I'm just giving you other cases which might fit into this particular pattern. Go to page number 6. A Gemara Brachos, Mem Gimel Amud Beis. This is Kaz Bavarkin, which has established the halacha on Daf Mem Hei Amud Aleph, where the Gemara says, Excuse me, Lamed Vav Amar Al, Lamed Hey Amar Al, the beginning of Ketzim Mavar. The Gemara says, Kol Hanehene Ba'olam Hazeh Beloy Bracha Mo'am. Anybody who derives benefit from anything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has created in this world without a bracha, it's as if you violated the Issa Me'ilah. Everything belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's Hegdesh. So you violate the Issa Me'ilah. Kol Hanene Ba'olam Hazeh Beloy Bracha Mo'al. That's the general statement on Lamed Hei Amud Al, the first Amud in Ketz HaMavar. Ki'ilu Ma'al. Ki'ilu Ma'al. Okay. Ki'ilu Ma'al. That means pretty serious. So now read the bracketed lines and tell me what question you think the Gemara, what question would you ask on the Gemara? Read the bracketed lines.
It's very awkward.
And tell, So first tell me what's the question before you answer that.
You have to make a brocha on the...
No.
No.
So what's the question you're going to ask on the Gemara's question?
Why should you have to make a brocha?
You don't get hana.
Say the opposite. No, that's the answer. Once the Gemara already posited on the Aflamed Hei, Kol Hanehene Ba'olam Hazeh, Believe Bracha, Harezeh Ma'al, I know the answer. So now, if I just heard that, are you allowed to smell something that smells nice without a bracha? What's the answer? The answer is no. So what's the I need a separate source to teach me that what? That you have to make a bracha on Reah. That you're not allowed to. Why do I need a separate source? Because on the original Gemara, would I have said that what? That what?
Only food.
That only food. But Reah is not subject to the Isur Me'ilah. Why is Reah not subject to the Isur Me'ilah? Because Kol Nareva Reah Ein Bo Mishum Ilah. Therefore, says the Gemara, correctly, Amarav Zutar Bar Tuvi Amarav, Minayin Shemivarchin Al Reah. How do I know that despite the fact that under ordinary circumstances, Reah is not something defined as a violation of Hanah, nonetheless there is a bracha for Reah and you would not be permitted to do so? Shine Emar, Kol HaNishama Tahaloyah. Ezehu Dover, Shahaneshama Nehenet Mimenu, Ve'ein Haguf Nehenet Mimenu, Heveyom Zehareah. What? Schmecking, physically you don't get it. It's the inside that feels good about it. So that's the neshama. Kol ha-neshama tahaloyah. Whenever the neshama gets benefit from it, say praise to HaKadosh Baruch. But the mere fact that you have to have another source is predicated upon what? Halach. The fact that without this, I would assume that the broad general statement of Kol Hanene Ba'olam Hazeh B'loy Bracha Ki'ilu Ma'al doesn't apply to just Reyach and Hanah. Does not apply to Reyach and Hanah. Does not.
Maybe you need another source to see if you have the opportunity to make a bracha or avoid a bracha by Torah?
Perhaps. I'm not saying no. Perhaps. I'm not saying no. But again, you can assume from this question, perhaps, that this supports a premise that there would be no Issa whatsoever. And that's why I need a bracha to tell me, oh no, there is an Issa. And therefore, you make sure you make a bracha. Page 7. Or Sameach and Hilcha Shabbos, Paragawa for Hilcha Shabbos. Or Sameach, don't ask me why Or Sameach. Parakal of Shabbos, is he talking about this issue? Not Shofar. Is he talking about Kavan being... it's a whole thing. It's a whole verse of it. What? On the Rambam, yes. On the Parakal of Shabbos. V'nit bonei, now let's understand. Heich mo'al hatokeya b'shofar shel ola halo ein me'ila b'ko. The Rambam writes, in Hilcha Shofar, Parak Aleph Halacha Gimel, that Shofar Shel Ola Lo Yiska. He should not use the shofar shalom. And the Rambam writes, shofar hagazul yotzin do. She'ein bikol din gezel. He can't steal sand. Can't steal sand. So if somebody takes a stolen shofar, don't say that this is a mitzvah of avera, like a stolen lulav. There's a stolen lulav. The lulav is the object with which you perform the mitzvah, and you can have theft for a lulav, for an object. But since the definition of the mitzvah of shofar is what? Sound. You can't steal sound. So then why does the Rambam say, a shofar shel ola lo yiska? How can you violate Isra Hana'a with what? With sound. So that's what he asks. Halo ein me'ilo dekol. Dekol umare v'reyach ein behem yishu me'ilo. Ki mevuah the perikol shah. V'tzorich lo mar. So what chiluk does the Arsameach make? Arsameach make? That somebody else who hears the shofar of a shofar shel ola will indeed be yotzei the mitzvah. Why? Because ein bikol din me'ila. But here, the Baal Tokeya, what did he do? He took the horn of a shofar of a korban ola.
He sat on the chair.
He sat on the chair. He's using the item itself. And that's why the Rambam says, lo yiska, he should not blow it. Because by blowing it, you are violating the Isur of using Havhedesh. It belongs to the Korban. And you're using the Korban for your personal use. But somebody who hears it, says the Arsameach, he won't violate anything. Why won't he violate anything? It's called Umaravareach. And does he say there's an Isur? No. Absolutely not. No Isur. None whatsoever. And that's why somebody who will have heard the shofar, he will say, will be yotzei the mitzvah. Why? Because the principle is kol ein bo mishum me'ila. Once ein bo mishum me'ila, there's no Israel at all, violated by hearing the sound of a shofar that belonged to a korban. And I produce the sound is not a violation of the Yisrael. The blowing is, but not the sound.
He does make reference to this.
He is moving on to our case.
That's correct.
So that means that you must assume that there was a use.
Okay, that's correct. That's where he goes on to talk about this. You're right. And he says, he says, Ricard, if it to use a wick of the mikdash directly, that would violate the Isur. Isur, no doubt. I'm just bringing this up as another potential case where the principle will be applied called ein bo mishum me'ila, and perhaps a yotzei the mitzvah. Because the Rambam writes lo yiska, but if you talk a yotzei, that's the Rambam writes. Shofar shalola lo yiska v'imtaka yotze. Why b'di'evit if you were yotze, if you blew? Because I heard the sound, and you can't steal sound. So I'm not supposed to use the shofar, that's true. So I will violate the Isur Me'ila by blowing, because I'm not allowed. But the sound has nothing to do with being yotze the mitzvah. Because there's no Me'ila by sound. No Me'ila by sound. So what we've seen is a variety of different sources that touch upon this broad principle of kol mare vareach ein bo mishum me'ila. Hayotze, the Yerushalmi simply dismisses and says ein bo mishum me'ila. And therefore the woman can use the light of the Simchas Beis HaShoeva and directly go ahead and what? And use the light. Tosfos says, ain't nothing further from the truth. There's an Isur nonetheless. Where did Tosfos get the Isur from? The Gemara in Pesachim. Which said that Hanoah Habol Adam Bal Korcho, according to Abaye, is Asur. Excuse me, according to Rava, is Asur. So walking by the church, even though it's Lo Kamechavein, is an Isur, even though you won't violate the Isur Me'ila.
Some other sources, the Gemara in Croesus, seems to say that it's okay to walk into the Mikdash and listen to the symphony orchestra, Jerusalem Symphony Orchestra in the Beis HaMikdash. No Issa whatsoever. Other sources say, well, you can draw a parallel. In each case, you might need to come up with a chiluk, but in each case, it is possible to apply the principle. Either it's definitively mutter, or it might be usser, depending on what perspective you take, based on the Bavli or the Yerushalmi. We'll stop here, continue next to Vach.